Welcome, and you're listening to Geekologist Radio, a division of the Queued Up Media Group. And meow.
Shut up and sit down.
Hey guys, it's Brandon. Welcome to Geekologist Radio, where we take you through our queue, into our gaming systems, and ride that hype train from the past way into the future. Let's introduce our crew for... Wait a second. We're missing somebody. Hang on now.
What?
We got Cajun is number one.
Yeah, I'll take that. I'll take it.
Okay, Cajun's number one. Yeah. So first to worst. Damian Nash, you can be number
best.
Two.
You're the best. I'm the best.
And
the
I best. Guess I'm
the best or I'm shit.
You're number two.
Yeah.
We're just going to leave it at that.
Oh, thanks. Thanks for that.
And I'm third, the golden turd. So what are we missing?
What are we missing? Wait, we're missing. Wait, we said two already. We said two of Damien. Something with a two.
Woofs. Two woofs.
Oh, woofs. Woofs.
Woofs.
We're missing the woofs.
No. My dogs had their shock collar on for their barking. That way they won't bark. So no wolves.
Yeah, and I just groomed mine earlier tonight. It looked like I killed a fox in my backyard, but it was really just my dog's hair.
Okay. Well,
maybe we should put out an application to see if we can get another host on here, because I mean we can't do this. There's only three, and I don't know where our fourth guy is. He just vanished on us.
Is there a gaming conference anywhere near his house?
Oh wait. Yeah, there is. PAX East is going on right now.
Oh, that's where he must be. He better come in with some good reports.
So we're all missing Chris tonight, but he is in Boston right now at PAX East, and he's been excited as crap all day long. I've been getting messages back and forth with him just saying, all right, I'm here. I got in my hotel room. I'm going to go down and get a drink and get something to eat.
That was almost Arnold. That was almost Arnold.
Arnold almost came out.
No, Arnold Schwarzenegger is not here right now. He's at PAX East.
Leave a message after the beep.
Leave a message after the beep. I must get into my chopper.
So, yes, it's just three of us on tonight doing the cast. We're missing Chris. Hope he comes back next week with lots of good news and reports from the field. Field reporting, Chris.
All right, gentlemen, let's head in our queue.
We switched round and round till half past dawn. There was 57 channels and nothing on. 57 channels and nothing on. 57 channels and
All right, so first up, I started watching a show on Netflix, and it's called An Idiot Abroad.
Wait, hang on. We just talked about Chris. We know where he's at. He's not abroad.
He's not abroad. He's not too far from his house.
He's at PAX East.
Yeah.
He's not abroad. Don't worry about it. Continue.
All right, so are you saying that this is going to be the American version? Because you know how they always do that with the British shows. So anyway, so first off. They did it with The Office, so that's all I'm saying. And this isn't Ricky Gervais' show.
Yeah, this is very much The Office. The Office cast. Yeah.
The show, I'll just go ahead, I'm just going to kind of tell you the summary and then talk about it. So, Brit Carl Pilkington has led a sheltered life. Not having done any traveling, he enjoys living with the comforts of what he knows. Basically, that being what is purely British. As such, his friends... when you see the series, if you can call them that, Ricky Gervais and Stephen Merchant, which Stephen Merchant was in what? Logan.
He was Caliban in Logan. He was.
Hell yes. He's excellent.
The voice of the AI in Portal 2.
Oh, I did not know that. That is awesome. I'm not going to give you my geek card, though. So they decide to send Carl on various parts of the world to experience unfamiliar cultures. Stephen believes that travel is a life-broadening venture and hopes that Carl will indeed feel like his life is enriched by these travels. Ricky, however, and this is very, very prevalent in the show, hopes that Carl will hate every minute of his travels. For Ricky, this experiment is the most expensive gag for his own pleasure that he could ever have conceived. that is the show. The show, but the show is so much more. So when you see things like The Amazing Race and you see things like this, and they're traveling around the world and you see bits and pieces of these other cultures, they hide so much of it. But this is not one that you necessarily want to watch with your kids. There's cursing.
Oh, yeah.
There is nudity that you definitely don't want
to
see.
Yeah, when he goes to like some obscure places. I've seen most of the first season. So, yeah, when they go to some obscure places, it's like a British BBC show. So
It is.
Nudity is like TV 15 or whatever for that. So, it's
But the thing is that... like it's funny. It is outright hilarious. And they actually, this season that started in 2012, and they had a year hiatus, 2012 and then 2013. Yep. So they had three seasons. We only got right now, I believe we only have one season on Netflix. So I'm actually waiting for the other ones to come on, but it's really good. And it also gives you that, It's just something different that we're not used to seeing here in the States. We get things sugar-coated. This is not sugar-coated. This is what he lives what it's like if you're going to visit these cultures. He's experiencing everything as if he was a part of that culture.
Right.
And it's just so...
it's funny. It's really funny.
It's funny. It's
awkward, but in a good way. Like, I don't like to feel awkward, but he's so... introverted a little bit. Like, he wants his creature comforts. He wants his pub, he wants his apartment, he wants his regular life. And it was Ricky Gervais and Stephen Merchant just pushing him. And then they'll tell him, they'll paint this great picture. Then he gets there and he's staying in like the crappy part of India, loud noises all night in a little hotel. And they're like, no, it's that you're experiencing the culture. And it's obviously shtick, but they really sell it to him. And it really, especially for like the first half of the season, until you realize it's shtick that they're just going to keep doing all the time, that it's, they put him in these uncomfortable situations, and where he, at the end of the show, had a overall good experience seeing all this stuff. He might not express it, but overall it's like, oh, you can see some little lights and things he got to experience, and you got to too, where you don't get that beautifully painted brush through the whole thing. And he is not a comedian, but he is so funny because he's so awkward
and dry, but it so just works dry.
yeah
but and you learn a whole said? Like
oh god geez. It's 2017.
that's
a 2016 thing.
Yeah, so he all, and the other thing is he goes in with big in with the everything's about the bathroom. When he gets a regular bathroom with even if it's just a little bit of toilet paper, this guy's so excited. And you watch this series, you watch the first couple episodes, you'll understand why. And it's just, you know, it's like I said, it's eye-opening. Mm-hmm. But it gets two thumbs up for me. Watch it if you want to do something that if you want just to laugh, and then you want to see something interesting.
Yeah, it's great background humor. Like, if you want to watch it, put on something where you're doing stuff around the house and laugh. You don't have to sit and pay attention the whole time, because mainly from the audio, when you look up, you'll see the stuff, and it's not something you have to sit down and pay attention. It's great background humor.
All right. So going into next up, we got Legion chapter 4 and 5 is what we're talking about.
They go by chapters. Yeah. Watch out, meow.
We have to do two, because last week we were a bunch of lazy a-holes, also known as life app. And we weren't able to watch chapter 4. So
speak for yourself.
So, cut up now.
yeah. Cajun got it. I got the first little bit of it, and then so I wanted to just go in on chapter 4 and talk about the first opening scene. And it's kind of when you're watching this series, you realize how powerful it is when it actually directs. It directs the camera back at you as a human, and this is something that's said, and you don't know who's speaking it at first. You find out later in the episode, and I'll let you guys talk a little more about that. But what it starts off is, it says, "We are the root of all we are the root of all our problems. Violence is ignorance." And then it gives a space, and then this individual that's in front, that's very 70s, maybe even their like 60s, 70s attire, says, "Figure this shit out." And it's in like this ice chamber and stuff, and it's just like like you hear that, and this that kind of resonates throughout that whole episode.
And like I said, it didn't matter to me because I gave up after episode two, so I wasn't lazy last week. I just ain't watching that show no more. So Brandon, are you caught up now?
I am caught up. I am all the way caught up.
What are your thoughts on that episode?
That one was kind of like, eh. But the latest episode, chapter five, I just got done watching it probably 45 minutes before we started recording tonight. And oh my gosh. Cajun, I honestly think you need to just watch chapter five just because of the way the twists and the turns are in it to see if it'll bring you back in.
Hmm. Yeah. So chapter five, basically, they turn it up. So you don't know why he's called, you know, we know why he's called Legion because of when somebody's life's taken, they become a compartment with inside of him. And those individuals are what he uses to ignite his powers, if you will. And so if you've seen X-Men Apocalypse, and you see the powers that Apocalypse has when he like sinks people down into walls and things like that, Apocalypse ain't got shit on what Legion can do.
So he can, right. So if somebody dies who has powers, when he compartmentalizes them, does he gain their power?
It's so Legion, his ability, because of being who Sonny is and everything else, he's the apex predator, if you will. He's able to because of how much he's able to do just through mental
manipulation,
he can basically emulate all powers. He is like all power, like he's crazy powerful, and that's why he appears to be crazy. And in chapter five, Legion is waking up.
Yes, he is. We also find out why he's crazy. And we also find out officially that he is adopted.
So his dad is not his dad?
Correct. All the memories he has of his father are definitely not his real father.
Okay. Okay, gotcha. So they're doing a father twist in this one. Although we've already revealed on multiple occasions who his father is. They're holding off on doing the reveal and even putting a bigger twist in there. Gotcha.
But the thing is in this episode, they show more of the monster walking around. And when he's walking around, you see more. The first part, you see just the monster itself, which the suit and everything. You're looking, you're like, oh, yeah, that's that, you know, you can see more of it. But then makeup effects on this.
We were wrong because originally we had said that we thought that some almighty, really smart guy who might teach a college course, also known as somebody else that we're not going to mention.
In Westchester, right?
Correct. That we thought that he put a shield over his mind is why he was crazy like this. We find out that in this episode, this chapter, chapter five, that he's not. The reason he's mentally insane is because he's got a parasite in him. And that parasite is what this monster is. Yes.
Oh, okay. So that's what the monster is. Gotcha.
Right. And every time Legion, David, decides he's going to start realizing what he is, who he is, what he can do, this parasite comes out and decides to attack his memories and his personality and literally at one point takes over control of David and then comes out of David's body and starts kidnapping the other people that are at Summerland and everything else.
Oh my God! Wow, that's so meta. that has some serious layers to it right there.
And the thing is that you forget because just the way that they film it, and it's not a bad thing. It's actually really good. But you forget that you're watching until you see some of the other people use their powers. You will forget that you're watching a
comic book based
X-Men, a comic book based film, or series. Because, and then he goes, I'm some almighty powerful mutant in episode four. And I'm like, oh yeah, that's right. You're a mutant.
Gotcha.
It takes you a bit because the mutants that are involved, none of them are grotesquely changed. Like there's no physical. Yeah, maladies. They're all human.
Yeah, there's no beast. They're all human in appearance. Yeah. Mystique. All blue. Yeah.
And so, but yeah, no, it was
Toad. Yeah.
Oh.
Do you know what character are he plays in a big movie coming out this month?
Yes, I do.
I just found that out and got super excited.
Beast
in Beauty and the Beast.
Beauty and the Beast.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, I am so excited for that. And like when I found that out, I'm like, I was already excited for the film, but when I found that out, I'm like, oh, I go, Legion is Beast. Or like, this is awesome. My daughter's looking at me because I just want to see it because it looks like it's going to be really cute. I'm like, no, that's Legion.
Yeah. And
Gaston's going down. I'm just telling you. Gaston's going down.
Everything that made me not watch Legion, his performance was not one. I found his performance to be great the entire time. And he was an enthralling performance of the two episodes I saw. Everything that threw me away was nothing about his performance. So that was exciting to see he got a big role in a big movie coming.
And I'm hoping, because of the nature of it, that it's going to get Oscars and stuff like that. And well, at least for something, for animation or something.
Yeah, for making person. On the special effects side. Makeup. Special effects side.
Yeah,
nominated.
The special effects side. Right. Okay. But
and then
he's
again,
a big special
Suicide
effects.
Squad can win that, so.
It's always those big, but it's always some big budget one that has it that wins it. It's rarely like costumes used to always go to like the Elizabethan era English dramas.
And now it's
all going to like your high end like Lord of the Rings won like freaking what like 3 years in a row or something. So
what I'm hoping is that I just look forward to seeing more what he puts out there through movies and stuff because he's getting roles and stuff like that now and. It's exciting because he is really a pleasure to watch with his talent.
Agreed. Now, what might have been a pleasure to watch, what might not have been, was Walking Dead episode 12, Say Yes. Pleasure, not pleasure?
Oh, I enjoyed the hell out of it.
Well, you know me, I'm Rick.
Yeah, I'm going with not pleasure for me on that one. I found they used some old gimmicks. Like, they went back to the well and, like, fell through the roof again. Check. They had the Glenn's first death style fake out. He's like, he's here. They're eating something. And then like goes under and around. And the one that is always the sign of death. I'm killing walkers right now. Ooh, shiny things. Let me go over here and do something. Nothing bad will happen. This is probably stupid. Oh, yeah, it's something bad happens. So, check. They had quite a few of those gimmicks in there that I was just, and the terrible CGI on the deer, too. So,
okay, yeah, I will admit, the deer CGI, as I saw it, I'm like, oh, God, come on. But, what I liked about the episode was the fact is that they're setting it up as, you know, because Rick has been a beaten puppy in the last few episodes. He's coming back, you know, the last episode, or before... So two episodes ago, we could see the return of Rick. You're starting to see him wake up again. But what this shows, they were trying to build up on showing his relationship with Michonne and trying to display it as a power couple thing. Where Michonne is extremely reliant on him, you find out in this. When she finds out that she thinks he's dead, she drops her sword. It's like, you know, take me. It's that take me moment, you know, like she just gave up. They have a discussion about it. He goes, you know, people die. That's the reality we live in. We have to go on. He goes, you have to be strong. I have to be strong if something happens to you. I'm hoping that doesn't mean that they're trying to set it up to be able to give these characters, either one of them, to be able to leave at some point.
Yeah, that's what it felt like. It felt like they're setting up.
That's what it felt like.
Rick, Michonne, or even Carl to pass and them having to move on. In battles, they have to probably witness it in battle and move on, and using this as an impetus for it. Yeah,
and the thing is that yes, the trash people drive me absolutely nuts too. Nobody else is like I like who like I'm waiting for them to do what I know they're supposed to do, and then I'll probably like them. But the show could be going completely different, and if they do. Then I'm like gonna sit back and be like, well, that was kind of wasted, and I just
See, for me, like this episode did set up something. It set up that scenario of expecting a loss and having to fight through it, but it also set up the Takers as being unreasonable. So there's gonna be a future standoff, I think, after the attack on the Saviors, and that's going to be the issue, because these are an unreasonable group. So you might know what happens in the comic book, stuff like that. There's going to be an unreasonable standoff in the future. I have no clue what's happening, but that's just what I felt was setting up right there. Yeah.
You are very, as you are with Westworld and those things, you are very astute, my friend. And yes, I will hold it at that. There's definitely going to be some changes. And with the way that they're going, at the pace they're going, it could be until this story arc moves and it goes to the next story arc. This story arc could play out for a good three seasons at the current pace that they're going.
I really hope they have the battle for Saviorville or whatever at the end of this season.
Okay. Well, no. The story arc is like 3 to 4 major battles.
Okay, gotcha.
So it's there's a battle here, then there's a battle here, and then but it all makes sense what happens because they did set that up because they talked about this. Mm-hmm. They're talking about this. There's someone's after somebody's out of power, somebody's gonna else have so to fill that
fill
power,
that power
vacuum.
Vacuum. Yep. Gotcha.
And so when somebody's dethroned, what happens? Mm-hmm. There's collisions.
Right.
But all in all, I liked it. But yes, the CGI was poop.
Yeah, and a few of the gimmicks I found to be out of there. But it did give impetus for Tara to reveal the Oceanside guns. You're like, we went through all of this.
Yes,
she probably hears the story from Rick and Michonne about how crazy it had to be, just crazy coincidence and struggle just to get the guns they got, and even that wasn't enough. And like, where else do we have them? And now she's finally have to reveal Oceanside. And I mean, I have a strong feeling this is going to be a contentious barter deal. Like, they're going to have to come in with a white flag. They're not going to be able to overrun them and steal their guns. I'm curious to see how that episode pans out as well, too, with the Oceanside people and getting their guns.
See, with the Oceanside thing, I think that eventually it's going to turn into a fight, and I feel like Tara's going to get killed.
Yeah, because she's the one that like
I feel like this is what's gonna happen. I feel like she's gonna go in there and either she's gonna get killed or the gal who allowed her to escape will be dead, or they're gonna get caught because the individual who we did not see, even though he's doing another TV series, this is their way that they could bring back his character.
Right. Yeah, because that's true. When you think she thinks she sees him, but it's really like just a conveniently cleaned up girl, right, with the hair. Yeah, gotcha. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, how convenient. So. The most newly dead zombie in this group happens to look exactly like the guy you think is dead. Yeah. Interesting.
So.
Now, we're done with TV shows. It's a big movie that came out.
Okay. First up, fair warning, if you have not seen this movie, the timestamp will be in the description for the before and the after we are finished watching or talking about this movie. We don't want to spoil it for anybody who has not been able to get to the theater yet.
Right.
So we're just going to put that out there that we're trying to be friendly about it. We're going to talk about it because
there's some stuff at the end that it would be spoilerific. And one of our previous castmates, Astracticus, had that spoiled from him from a local radio station he was listening to. So that we don't want to be that and spoil some significant parts in it. So look at the notes, fast forward if you don't want to hear it, and then come back and listen to our take on it after. Now, overall, love this movie.
Oh, so the movie we're talking about, if you couldn't tell already, is Logan.
Yeah.
Fan-freaking-tastic. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
It is taken, like, see, my son, he does his favorite movies by year. So that he doesn't have an all-time favorite. He goes each year. He goes, this one's his favorite so far this year. This movie took my spot. It dethroned. I had a real fascination and love with the Avatar film, just the whole deep story and everything behind it, and just the world in general. Mm-hmm. That, and for me, this was so well acted by everybody in the film. I mean, everybody. There was no slouch for acting at all in this. I absolutely adore this movie. Like, this movie is something that I can watch over and over again because it is so damn well done. Now, I've worked in the medical field, and I'm just going to tell you, Charles Xavier or Patrick Stewart, when we talked about Oscars and stuff like that, I feel that he needs, I don't think there's going to be any supporting actor out there in any film this year that will come close to touching his portrayal of Charles Xavier and how well he played a person who was going through like a degenerative mental disease.
Okay.
Okay. I mean, it just, well, okay. I'm just going to throw it out. What was your favorite part? Okay. Well, pick out a favorite part, each of you guys.
The X-23's first fight scene. Like when she first just goes rage, and Logan gets to see it. We get to see it. They showed probably a little too much of that in the trailers. Not all of it, because they added some stuff in how she started in the movie, rightfully R-ratedly so. that for me was my favorite part. Bren?
Same thing. They showed it pretty much in the trailer. So, but it was when she walks out holding the head and she just throws it at him, and oh boy, sitting there just going no, no, no. Now calm down. No,
bad dog.
That part, just like, I was rolling laughing, and I knew what was happening just because of the trailer and everything else, but just seeing it on the big screen, it was just amazing, knowing where everything led up to that point and then seeing everything that came after it.
So first up, they do with me, one of the things I loved that they explained this too. So she is she's made from the genes of Logan, but because she wasn't a clone, she was born, she is his daughter.
Right.
Straight up his child. But because she is Logan is like a beast, he's like an animal, they compare him to a tiger or like a lion.
Or perhaps a wolverine.
A wolverine.
Well, yeah, but Charles Xavier compares it to a lion because of the fact that the females, they do the most hunting, so they have more adapted claws in the front and in the back. The front are for offensive, the back are for what? Defensive. When she's fighting, all of a sudden you see a claw come out of each of her dang feet.
That was fantastic.
Yep. I saw that, and like we're like my son and I were like, oh, like the whole like row of us in front, all everybody did it at the same time. The whole theater was epic, because as she starts doing the spin around, you see limbs flying. I mean, for a moment, I forgot that I was watching a X-Men, you know, film, and I was almost like, oh wow, Uma Thurman got little. And I thought I was watching like Kill Bill.
Now, one part we were wrong about is when we first started seeing trailers and talk about it, when the screenshot was released of Logan being on his back with his claws up in the air.
Right.
And we seen claws going down. We assumed that that was going to be X-23, but it wasn't.
It was X-24.
It was X-24.
That's right.
And X-24 is a full-on clone of Logan that is completely
hybrid
controlled by the Alkali organization that's doing all this stuff, they're the big bads.
Now this was good and bad. So you see the clone of him, and you see him, and the first thing I thought of after you see him, I'm like, well, shit, he could play him for a much longer time. Why is he?
But it's like, so no. CG. Yeah, it's so heavy. It's not, well, even I mean, him as you old know it Logan is because you know he doesn't look 20 anymore, but like you can't like put a whole movie with that, because in action scenes you're moving so fast you can't tell, but you can't have an action sequence where the face is fully CG, i.e. Star Wars, and have that be something that people aren't just pointing their fingers at, like, oh my god, that's so CG. Ugh, stop it. You have to pull that back. Now, I did find a few plot holes. So this isn't my favorite movie ever. Loved it. But there was a few plot holes and awkward sequences that made me kind of go, like, they had this forced plot where, all right, we knocked out the guy that's over here to do some bad stuff and take the girl and be bad. Now, Caliban, you put on your sun hat and you take him to the desert and I'll get everybody ready to go. That shit are just, I understand why they did it, because it was an important part to the plot. But just from a logical standpoint, it's like, why don't you take him, Logan? You're the driver, and you don't have to wear all that stuff to go out in the sun. And this is a cybernetic dude who could like wake up and like take Caliban, which is what he did. Like, tie him up in the facility. Logan, take him, or kill him, because you just killed those guys on the side of the road for trying to steal your hubcaps. Kill that dude too. So that one was kind of a plot hole for me. And then they know Caliban's taken by the Reavers at that point. Why stay the night at the farm with the family? Like, he found them in Vegas. They might have been like, oh, they might have seen the car. But at some point, like, we might be being followed by Caliban here. Let's not endanger these people. And so those two were important to tell their story. But I think from a logical, like, why are these smart people doing these things standpoint, those are some plot holes for me. Brandon?
Well, Logan didn't want to stay with the family to begin with. He was wanting to just go, go, go.
Right.
But Xavier wanted Logan to see what it could be like to settle down and have a family, is why they did that.
Yeah, and got the entire
family
killed. This is a great family.
Messed up head.
Yeah, this is right. A great family that we're going to end up killing by staying here overnight.
But Xavier's not right in the head, and I think that's why. I think he's just ready to be done, have a family, settle down, and just live out the rest of his days in peace.
Yeah, yeah.
Not stuck in the middle of the desert of Mexico in a big, giant metal container.
Yeah. No, that would, he'd be perfectly fine with that. He needs to be as far away from people as he can in case he has episodes. Yep.
Right.
So one of the things that they did great, though, in this, another thing that they did great, actually, but was because of how Charles Xavier cusses and how his character is, if you take that and you go back and you go to young Charles Xavier, and, you know, not the first one, because the first one he didn't really curse, but then you go to the second movie when he's strung out on drugs and stuff.
Talk about McAvoy.
You're
talking about McAvoy.
Yeah, we're talking about McAvoy. Gotcha. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So you take McAvoy and Patrick Stewart. You can see now, because before, you know, it's like, you're like, you just kind of buy it. But seeing this, you know, where he's cursing and he has more attitude, you compare that to McAvoy's Xavier, and they meld well. Like, you see it, and you're like, okay, I can see that as being the same person.
Yeah. Now, being able to place those movies in a timeline that makes sense to your brain is literally impossible, because all of the movies in the X-Men franchise cannot be placed in a intelligible timeline.
You can't. Yeah, well, yeah, because it's like, if you go back,
As its own,
it's its own entity, exactly, universe kind of thing. Like, because that's the whole thing. Is
this one takes place in 2029,
right? And we do know the events of X-Men 1 took place, whether they took place exactly as this, because we know the Statue of Liberty incident happened, and we know he was a cage fighter, so we know those things of X-Men 1 happened. But so basically, this movie,
we also know the stuff of X-Men 2. No, we know that stuff of X-Men 2 happened. Which screws up. Okay, so this, we know the stuff of X-Men 2 happened. However, that screws up the timeline of X-Men Apocalypse.
Wait, X-Men Apocalypse. X-Men 2 happened in the Logan universe?
Because in Logan, he goes up because the Doctor is the son of Stryker.
Oh, no, but he killed all those people in, when he escaped Alkali Lake in, whenever they
but
showed
he didn't
the scene,
kill William Stryker.
Whenever they showed the scene,
but he didn't kill William. William got away.
But he didn't kill a lot of people in Days of Future Past, or was it Days of Future Past or Apocalypse? Apocalypse was the one where they.
It was Apocalypse is where he got where he killed him. Everybody, but he did not kill William Stryker.
Yeah, he left him alive. Okay, so
yeah,
so that one, so, that continuity would hold, because that would put the Doctor's dad in that facility when he escapes. Got it. Okay.
Yeah, but Wolverine himself looks at the Doctor and states, "I think I killed your father."
Yeah.
Oh, when he says his
action. But here, But this is how things can change, right? Wolverine's the only mutant. I actually just got it, so it actually still fits. This is why. This is why I wanted to talk about this, and Logan did a great thing. I already put it together. So, we all forget, in Days of Future Past, Wolverine changed the whole X-Men timeline. It's because, you remember, he killed, in X-Men 2, he killed William Stryker, but in the end of Days of Future Past, he gets picked up by William Stryker, and the timelines shift. And that's why he's able to have a son, and that's because the son, and the son's different, because in X-Men Days or in the X-Men 2, his son was a mutant.
Yeah, Jason, wasn't it?
Yeah,
Jason,
but it still needs to tie to this one, where in this universe, there's been 25. This universe has a big thing. 25 years, a mutant hasn't been born, so we see child mutants. Say X-Men 1 took place. We call that, the movie came out in 2000. It was set in the modern time. Call it 2000. That means from 2002 on in the X-Men universe, or 2004 on in the X-Men universe, no mutants have been born because of the virus they put in everyone's food that kills or dulls the X gene to keep them from being born. But we've seen child mutants in a lot of the other movies that would remove the Logan continuity as its own thing in a separate universe with probably only, like I said, only X-Men 1 might hold up because it took place before then, so it wouldn't matter at that point.
Well, like I said, that all changed with the, everything changed when he went back in time.
Yeah.
Because they had the future part.
Right.
When they were fighting the Sentinels, and then they went back, and so that's when they put the, they changed the, and they, everything went astray the other direction.
Yeah, but then which timeline would he be in this? And would it be the original timeline or the Days of Future Past?
No, he's in the Days of Future Past altered timeline, because the other timeline doesn't exist. Only he remembers the original timeline, because everything else in the X-Men film world changed with Days of Future Past. Okay.
And if you have any evidence to support this, please send your emails to Geekologist Radio Attention Damian Nash and either help him or refute his claims on which timeline is accurate in the Logan movie.
Also, there was a deleted scene that was cut on the showroom floor, which showed the event that caused the death of all the X-Men. So we should be looking for that in the extended special edition Blu-ray, director's cut, blah, yada, yada, yada. Give me some more money. Thank you, Fox.
Yeah, no, that's a scene I want to see, too, because it's such a major point, and because that was another thing. A lot was glossed over in this. Like, we know Xavier did bad stuff, and they glossed it a little bit. They hit it enough to the heart where you know what happened, but I think they could have double down a little more to hit it, and also how there have been no mutants in 25 years and what happened to all the mutants is basically like, we put all this stuff in the food and we killed all the mutants. There were such throwaway dialogue lines in this movie that I was like, those are major events. You can't just like throw that off to the side. Like, yeah, I killed all the mutants and make sure none of them died 25 years. I do all the things, and this is your major villain, and he dies so quick with like no fight, hardly. So those are some things that I really wish were resolved a little better, both plot kind of resolution and major villain. Yeah,
because what they did is they ultimately, you know, they made the major villain be Wolverine himself, which is actually is actually kind of just like a play on things, because he's always been his own villain. He's always been fighting internal demons, and so in this film,
those demons
his
are real.
Swan song is, yeah, his the demon's real, and he, you know, it's
he
like they
to
took him
himself.
And separated too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and ultimately that's what made it such a perfect goodbye. Yeah. However,
and his kid has
however,
to kill his clone or his
yes.
demon. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
And the thing is that, like Brandon, when he was talking to him, he's all, "You're gonna cry, you're gonna cry." I did get misty eyed at this, and if you're a father, or if you're a parent, you'd feel this way probably. But if you are a father of a daughter specifically, you're gonna get hit in the feels, because when X-23 starts crying and screaming daddy.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You're yeah. just like, you're like, oh, God. Like, it just,
yeah.
Talk about that. That's just that, a straight up yeah, nutshot.
That hit. And that hit in the feels, being a father, and but from a show critique standpoint, her character getting to there, it was a little rushed, but like I said, I would like a half hour more of this movie fleshing out a couple of big things. Her coming to terms with him being her father, the actual mutant annihilation, and the mutant nullifying serum thing, to be a little more in depth. Go.
Okay, so with the whole daddy thing and her coming to terms with it, I think she's always known, because if you remember, she has the comic books. She's been mm-hmm. reading all about yeah. Logan and Wolverine this whole time, so she knows who he is. And the Hispanic nurse that took
she
care of her,
too, yeah.
She knew exactly who he was, because she specifically sought him out
right.
to help
said,
take
you're the
care
Wolverine.
Of her and said, you need to take this. Take this child to this point so that we can get her safe. She specifically knew it. She had to have had that conversation right. saying, look, this is basically your dad.
That's a good
and
point.
And the more time that they spent together, the more time she probably felt the bond between them. Because, I mean.
Yeah, she was just also like Damien Sayerda. She's such an aggressive beast that she doesn't know how to show love. She knows how to kill and destroy and be aggressive. Right. But. That's when that moment went through out. I get it. I buy it. I'm changing my opinion. Consider it changed. Done.
And one of the other things that they did right.
Agree,
oh.
though. Yeah. I completely agree with your other two.
Yeah.
Now, the other thing that they did great with this, though, is so they give you this character, and again, just kind of like how Tom Hardy is in the Taboo. Yeah. So she does it very well, too. She's a silent protagonist. Like she's there and she's doing things, but she doesn't have to talk very much. She growls. Well,
she didn't speak for the first half of the movie.
Right. And there's a reason for this, that because it was a buddy made film. And so Charles Xavier was spoke for her. When Charles Xavier meets his death, she starts speaking.
Yep. Right.
So they played it to where they wanted it to be.
Right, because
she didn't
want to
at first. You can tell she was hesitant.
Yeah. And so what they did is they set it up to where they wanted to have it to be about basically two people. One person talking with Logan, and they wanted the dialogue between two people, and then they switched it up.
And a parent sibling, because Xavier was the parent role for Logan, and Logan was a parent role for X-23. I exactly. like it.
The best part of
you're making it better for me. I love this movie. You're making it better by showing me some stuff I missed. I like it. But going back to Professor X, his demise was underwhelming, though.
I
completely agree.
I was like, that's it? That's how you get rid of him? But like Logan's demise, that was an epic send off, just all around, just epic send off of his character.
But the thing is, what they did, so you got to see how they go about it. The entire X-Men franchise has been about Charles Xavier basically trying to help Logan. So that's basically been the whole premise of it. Then you get this film, and Charles Xavier looks up, and he sees Logan, and then he gets killed by him. So what you're thinking of, and then us, until we realize that we're like, wait, did he get a haircut? What's going on? And then you put things together. Your initial gut reaction is pain, because you're like, what the f*** is going on? Sorry. he's putting his claws to Charles. Like, you see that, and like everything's kind of going through. Although I had an idea when they showed like the feet and the hands in the tank. I was like, they clone Wolverine. So I was waiting to see it happen.
I wasn't
expecting
it.
But even still.
You didn't expect it.
I wasn't expecting it. Like, I knew about, like you said, like when you see him in the tank with the hands and the feet, you know that's what they're doing. Basically, they've created their final product, the ultimate weapon that they will never have to duplicate again, because this is it. This is the end for them. They don't have to do anything else. But when Xavier didn't detect a difference, you know, using his mental powers, X-23 didn't use any of her sense or, you know, couldn't tell a difference. And she was awake. When he walked in, you see her eyes open as Charles is talking to, quote-unquote, Logan, even though it was X-24.
Right.
Well, he smells.
Right.
Because her senses are scent and stuff. So she's going to smell her dad. You know, right. It's
he's a straight clone. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's not for her. It's not going to be anything different. She doesn't have the mental capacity. It does. I do find it strange. However, you know what? You know, adamantium. There's been so many different storylines where adamantium was one of the reasons why Charles Xavier had a hard time trying to read Logan's thoughts and stuff sometimes because of that metal coating.
Yeah.
Because okay. Magneto's helmet, it's just everything that you kind of go into. Yeah. There's
well, and also the adamantium bullets have changed. Like there was earlier adamantium bullets in earlier X-Men movies just bounced off his skull but made him forget. And in this,
no, it pierced his skull. He got that it went into his brain in the first Wolverine.
In the Origins movie.
Origin, yeah, it puts a hole.
Oh,
right
it actually
his
goes
skull.
In. It makes. Oh,
yeah, it goes
okay,
in.
Okay, right, it goes in. Kills the brain, but then he heals up, makes him forget. But in this one,
yeah.
It full on blows the brain up.
Yeah.
So
exactly.
But again,
well, they were also
again. X-Men Origins has no place in any timeline in this universe. It has been just it's this didn't exist. Yeah. Now, the X on the grave, the removal of the cross, turning it to an X.
Oh my God.
Super emotional, sacrilegious, or corny?
Super emotional.
Okay.
I feel super emotional because she's doing that to what she remembers her father being, and he was a soldier, he was a warrior for X-Men. The only reason she knows that is because of the comics that she said.
Right.
And so she's paying homage to her father.
If this movie wasn't as strong as it was, it would have felt a lot cornier. I was like, that I felt should have been reshot about 20 times till it hit right. And for me, it didn't hit right in the theater. It didn't hit right. Just like, that didn't hit right. Like, I get it. I'm still emotional for the scene, but it just didn't hit the emotional point I needed to. Like, they were trying to send them off the right way. And I really think they could have probably refilmed it and done something a little differently to make that hit
I completely agree.
A little better.
Now, don't get me wrong. I liked the scene. I liked the way they did it, but I do think it was a little bit corny for everything else leading up to that point.
Right. It could have had more emotional stuff if he had done it. She'd done it either faster, slower, different, just something
it's
about it.
It's almost like she just got pissed off and just knocked
it over. A little off.
That's kind of what it feels like to me.
Yeah. It didn't film like it was on purpose almost. Yeah, like it should have been on purpose, but it didn't feel like it. Yeah, but I still like the concept. I feel like I can't see of any other better way to do it than that way. But just how she went about doing it, I think could have been filmed better.
This was another thing it kind of was a plot hole because it never got explained. Is he refers to the adamantium as poison, and so they never explain why he's aging and why he's not able to heal, and he makes it sound like he thinks that it's the adamantium that's causing him to be sick.
Adamantium in the comic books is poison, so
that's
when,
right.
When,
so that's
when the adamantium is pulled from his skin in the comic from his body in the comic books, his healing is so fast. It's instantaneous. Like he can be shot in midair and the bullet is like out before he hits the ground. So his healing goes a lot faster when the adamantium is out of his skin, but it's also poison. So it's a poison for anybody else. His healing keeps it in check, but it's been a slow death for him because of it. And that's why it's at this point.
That's right. Okay. So that's what I would like when he said that, I was like, I think I remember something. Thank you for reminding me.
No problem.
All right. So are we ready to get our coins up, guys, and go into
game on.
Now, none of us currently on the podcast own a Nintendo Switch, but this system did drop all over the place. Dame, do you own one? I see a finger up.
I don't own one, but one of us does, but he just happens to be not here right now.
Yeah, he's covering it and others.
Chris, currently Chris got, playing yeah, his yeah, Switch Chris got one. In Boston at PAX East. He made yes. sure he packed that instead of all of his podcasting equipment so that he could be on the show with us.
it's going to be tough for him to put down the Switch and get some sleep to be ready for it because this is a good game on it we'll cover next. But the Switch had good opening sales. Right now, projections are 4.4 million units to sell this year. Mm-hmm. This is a 2017 total yeah. projection, which is really strong sales.
They're hitting that Wii feeling, you know, like sales. they like it's they beat it. Yeah, they beat it. So I mean, it's what it is Nintendo's known for doing what they're known for doing mobile. So people are just taking it as I'm buying a $300 mobile platform. So, you know, and ultimately, I'll tell you, Breath of the Wild alone, we were talking about, is it going to be a system seller? It obviously is. Yeah. And for me, it makes me want one. Like, I was, like, holding back. I won't get one. I'm going to be a late adopter. I'm going to let them get the bugs fixed out of it and stuff. And then I'm going to come in, and I'll get it, and I'll be playing it. So you'll probably see this as, like, towards the, maybe the, like, early 2018 or something. I'll probably be. I say that. I could wind up before. We'll
and see. We keep teasing it. But, yeah, Breath of the Wild is a system seller because, for me, it made my Wii U purchase from 3 years ago worth it because there really was nothing that came out on it. It was just a streaming device for my bedroom. There's nothing I got on it that I played all the way through since I own the Wii U. And yeah, it's a system seller. I think that being it's such a highly rated game doing that, but there's a lot of things the Switch has to do. It needs to get to be able to be successful because there's things it's not doing. It doesn't have a lot of third-party AAA titles coming to it. Mm-mm. It doesn't Mm-mm. have the comprehensive online features that other systems have in them. It's just a gaming tablet right now. Basically, it's a gaming Game Boy. Tablet with some interactivity to it. Yeah.
No, because Game Boy, you can get Netflix on. You can get streaming apps
yeah.
on.
Yeah, I still think gaming tablet.
You didn't know that, did you?
Is like, yeah, just taking an iPad and like slapping some controllers on the side of it is probably the most app comparison without all the app functionality, without the apps for an iPad or yeah. a Galaxy. Sorry, I use an Apple product in Brandon's presence.
Or a Shield. The Shield units yeah. are made for gaming, and they come with a controller and everything. But yeah, that's around the same price. You pay $100 more, but still, you can't get the Nintendo titles yeah. on it. So
and they're gonna have to probably drop price before Christmas to have yeah. another sales boost and continue strong marketing because this is just the early adopter Zelda and strong marketing behind it.
Yeah,
that's what hit now. The Mario. Next phase is the
Mario.
Marketing. Yeah, can they market to another game and can they? Because there's been some negative press about it, rightfully so, Damien.
What's been going on is there's been a lot of issues where desyncing, then they say, oh, we got it fixed. Well, then the problem is that the Joy-Cons, when they slide in to connect, they're not sturdy. Like, they need to have something that makes it a little more solid. Maybe a plate that you put on the back to make it optional, but don't charge. Because you know what happened with the Wii? When they realized that controllers are flying through screens and taking out TVs. They put out they you could send in, you'd get it. They were giving away free, basically rubber cushions
yeah, and the wristbands too. They were doing
the wristbands. Yeah. So what Nintendo needs to do is they need to see that this just Joy-Con issue, and then you know they need to make something and they need to give it to their customers because there's been a few people that have already broken their Joy-Cons, have snapped right off the side because they're playing a game intensely and all of a sudden,
yep.
because it's not a heavy duty plastic. And this is something that even Chris has stated is that it feels very plasticky. Well, that's kind of a cheaper material and they need to maybe up their material. Brandon.
The other problem that they're having is the little, what is it? Just the caps that slide over it that have the wristband attached to it. People are putting those yeah. on backwards.
And locking them.
Put them on backwards. It's a pain in the rear end to get off. You have to use a screwdriver and gently pry here and push up here. And then eventually, if you do it right, you're going to be able to slide it back off.
Now, the thing with that is maybe like if they don't have an arrow pointed on here, you know, take an idea from what they do with rocket launchers. And they do.
There's a plus sign.
Okay, so you know what?
There's a plus and a minus sign. It's on there, but it's just
people. The fact is, though,
people don't think it's going to lock. Yeah.
Right. You wouldn't. Okay, if you have a lid and you try to put it on backwards, it's not going to screw on because the threads are on the wrong side. You shouldn't be able to put this on both ways.
Okay, yeah. All right. I see where you're going.
Yeah.
There should be a cap on one end so that it doesn't.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. I gotcha.
Yeah.
Exactly. But some of the other things they've had that you've seen, though, is also like the screens. People have had issues with the screens freezing.
Right out of the box.
Right out of the box, the screens having
now,
some pixels that
dead
are dead.
Pixels.
Dead pixels.
And then going to Nintendo's website, looking up dead pixels in the FAQ, or the tech help, and saying, it's okay for a couple of dead pixels to exist. No, it's not right out of the box.
No, it's not. Not when you pay this kind of money. one of the things with that also, though, is just to show is that how many units have shipped. You got to think about that. And then this is going to be the vocal, this is the vote, you got to take into consideration this stuff because every game console has dealt with this. I'm like, do we not remember the 360 Red Rings of Death? I mean, I was an early adapter of the 360, and my buddy and I actually, we used to talk, I worked at GameStop and stuff for a while, and my Microsoft rep said, we were two of the people that had ours the longest. They're curious what we were doing to have ours not do it. Sure enough, I told them all the things we did, and then I shit you not, a week later, I got the Red Ring of Death. I had to send it in to get it repaired. I was
pissed off.
Flustered as all heck. Yeah. But I mean, you got to take into consideration it's a new product. There's going to be trial and error. It sucks for those people who finally get their unit and then they're like, they put it in and it doesn't work. But it's, everything's going to happen with the new launch.
Yeah, it's curious as to what percentage is actually experiencing it. Is it a crazy
exactly,
number
exactly.
high, or just because people can share so instantly that the worst ones are getting highlighted, Bren?
Exactly.
Back to the cheap materials. The dock itself is actually ruining and scratching the screen. Just putting it into the dock. So if you haven't yet and you plan on getting a Switch, get a screen protector put on it as soon as you get it.
It's scratching through the screen protector. Through the screen protectors. Mm-hmm. It's going all the way through there. Yep. So people got the glass, the rolling on glass, and it's scratching deeply right through that. So what people are doing is they're actually taking, they're getting multiple glass cloths, for cleaning your glasses, and they're aligning it in there and then and sliding it in that way
just as
they're
Nintendo
just taping
planned.
It on. Hey, it sells more peripherals. Buy this Nintendo Switch glass cover or glass cleaner, and you can also use doubles as protection when you're sliding it into the dock.
Still,
they're gonna have to make dock condoms.
2 years, Microsoft Switch.
Oh yeah,
I
know Microsoft wants it. They want it, and they got the money for it. They want a mobile market. And the Nintendo is that for them.
Exactly. I just don't. With Zelda being as good as it is and Switch being right now unclear but having a lot of negative, if it's coming from a lot of different areas that shouldn't be as easy to break as they are, that this could be a pretty bad drawdown. So Switch having real strong sales right at the gate, and then the drawdown of sales happening really fast because word of mouth travels in this community so fast that you're going to scare all those people away who are sitting on the sidelines.
So the biggest problem they got right now is supply and demand. Right now this thing is in huge demand, just like the NES Mini was. The problem is if you get one of these defective Switches, how are you going to take it back to the store, turn it in to get a replacement one
if
there's none available?
Right.
I'll tell you what you do. You take it back, you turn it in, you get yourself an Xbox One S, and get yourself some games, and you enjoy yourself.
Yeah.
That's what you do. This,
yeah, it's going to be lost revenue for Nintendo because if there's none in the store, people are going to get their money and then go do other stuff.
Go elsewhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or a PlayStation and play Horizon Zero Dawn. I'm jealous. I've heard it's an amazing thing. Please, you know, it needs to come out on PC. I'll play it there. I got a PC. I'll run it.
Never going to happen.
No.
I know. I can wish.
Speaking of amazing things, Breath of the Wild, I'm playing it on Wii U. Holy crap, I'm loving this game. So much more than I thought I was going to. So much more.
So have you done the move where you're like you're just lounging on the couch and you're just sitting back there, you know? You got the headset.
It's got the big controller.
No,
he can still hold it. He can still hold it like this, the big controller, yeah, and it's got the screen.
Yeah, the Wii U gamepad is smaller than a Switch. So, yeah, I've sat on the couch, feet up, playing it, watching my daughter already. It's been great. Now, that's the thing. The graphic fidelity doesn't matter because it's not needed to have. It's a low pixel needed game. You don't need to have the graphic fidelity to actually see what's going on in the game and understand. Yeah.
Nice. So then the other question is, how's that charge on the Wii U playing it on the Wii U gamepad?
I haven't had any issues, but I haven't played just on the gamepad more than 2 hours. So.
Did your battery even if you had played at that 2 hour mark?
No, like I haven't. That's what we're asking. To the battery even warning me. I haven't pushed it just because other stuff came up, and I'm always been a battery conscious person. So if other stuff comes up, like oh, I need to feed myself or feed my family right now. I'll pause the game. Put it back in its charging stuff, do that, and then come back to it when it's done. I don't let it sit out. So it's rare where I'll sit there for a long enough session. Because if you're playing it on the gamepad itself, where the game's on the screen, then it's not using as much battery life because the system itself is not running the graphics.
So what I was trying to get at, though, is if they have this unit that can play this game that's supposed to be so demanding on a little screen, and it doesn't, and you get longer than 2 hours, and you're not anywhere near an alert mark, and the Switch alerts you. Breath of the Wild, it's 2 hour and it's dead, right?
Two and a half was the reported number.
2.5 hours and it's dead.
Yeah.
So it's like that's all I'm saying is that Nintendo had it right, and then they dropped the ball. So
the one thing the Switch can do is you can go further than about 20 feet away, because if I get too far away in my I can't go one end of my house to the other and play it. Like I have a limited radius around that Wii U. If I get too far away, it loses connection. And which sucks that I'm walking and fighting at the same time. I did that. I was fighting something. I was like, oh, I lost it. And the thing's like beating me up and I got to like get closer to the
that wasn't a Guardian, was it?
Oh no, it wasn't a Guardian. It was a regular ad. I was able to kill it. It didn't kill me. I did all right, but it caught me off guard there. I was like, whoa. And then I hope the game paused, and then the fight's still going on when it kicked back in. It didn't take long because the game itself, because that's the difference, I think. The game itself on a Wii U is still played from the system. You're just interacting with
it. You're streaming.
You're streaming it and playing it on the screen. So you're playing it on your – it's like playing on an Xbox controller where the Xbox controller has the screen. That's basically what it is. It's a – giant screen that'll give you carpal tunnel syndrome if you hold it for too long.
Do you get any latency issues with playing out streaming to that device?
No, none at all. No, it's like maybe if there was any PvP games, I might see it, but I have not seen any latency issues on the device.
Okay,
no,
that just makes me curious because Xbox, Microsoft, they have straight play anywhere, or they have stream from your Xbox to your PC, and you could be in the same area in the same room sometimes and still get latency depending.
Right.
So that's just I was just interested in that.
That's mostly due to your network connection, your router, your computer, the hardware.
Okay, Mr. Internet. Okay.
And all that stuff. Yeah,
that's a personal issue, not a system issue.
Okay, well then I guess I'll have to try it on this new Beast machine then, and I'll see if I can get back to you next week on that.
And when you get a real router instead of the crap that you got.
I have a real router now. Yeah. It's nice.
Now, getting back to Breath of the Wild, this game set a record on Metacritic. It had the most perfect scores of any game in Metacritic history. It had 43 perfect scores, It surpassed Mario Galaxy 2 and Last of Us, who each had 42. Now, this is a little obscure because it also has to do with the number of reviewers. The more reviewers, the more chances you have. But still, like, those are two well-renowned games, and it just beat them for well-reviewed games with lots of reviewers for the most perfect scores. And I can see why. It's strong. And it did major changes. This is not your daddy's Zelda. Like, they made changes to how Zelda is played in this game.
Doesn't gear break down now?
Gear breaks. So you get a weapon, you play it, you get your level 4 sword till you get a level 5, and then you use your level 5 sword. This one is, I have gear now from level 5 to level 50, and depending on the quality of the gear, it doesn't like have a quality rating, but you can kind of just, you can kind of tell by what it's named sometimes, but some of it lasts longer than others. So like my level 50 sword, I only take it out if I'm fighting something that I'm like, ooh, this thing's going to kill me fast and I need to drop it. And then I got a level 45 club. I was like, okay, I have that too. And I use all my lower level stuff for my regular fights until I see something else, because I know the gear matters. And same thing with my bows. I'll use a bow that's like a tier down bow until I need to go into a bigger fight, and then I'll step it up. So that's your weapons break, but not your armor. Your armor doesn't, but it's just your weapons.
Okay, your armor doesn't, but you can't repair your weapons.
I was accidentally. This is a very very minor spoiler, but later in the game you get some bigger named gear apparently that you can repair. So issue will probably only last for the breakable stuff. Then you'll get repairable stuff later or much later in the game. But
I was just gonna say, you get the Master Sword and nothing breaks. That's bull. Yeah,
but this is a truly open world. You can go anywhere, but so it does allow you access to get like early on high level gear if you can sneak around and find a chest that gives you something high. But because it breaks, you're not gonna be constantly overpowered. Like if I went got that. I don't know where I found that level 50 sword. It was way over level for my character. I could pick it up and use it right away. But at the same time, like, I can't use it forever now, because if I do, it's eventually going to break, and I wouldn't have anything to replace it if I wouldn't have been going to the other area and get stuff.
Listening to some other podcasts and just various people, like, listen to N64 Josh's new podcast that he has, the Nintendo Power Cast. Okay. Actually, and they're talking about stuff. They're talking about something I was going to ask you about. So how many shields have you broke by shield sledding?
I just found out about shield sledding today, and I've yet to try it. Literally, okay. I was doing a little research. Like, what's some stuff that I missed? Because I was trying to stay as much spoiler-free as I could, and I was doing a little research today on, like, what's some of the hidden stuff in Zelda? And I was like, you could surf on your shield? Son of a, because the game, it doesn't have a manual. It doesn't have training. It's like you figure it out. It has like the little hint screen that a lot of games have, like while it's loading up different areas, like you can read the hints, and it has a lot of that stuff in there, but it doesn't have anything about shield surfing.
<That's>... What I heard what a lot of people are doing is they're carrying around, you know how you can carry multiple pieces of gear? People are carrying down, like, doing like you're saying, but they do the opposite, where they use the low level gear to shield surf on, because you break it breaks down as you shield surf.
Right. So other thing I'm doing is, if I break, like if I'm running around and I have a decent sword, like say I have a level 25 sword that I'm running around with, and all of a sudden I break it, and I'll pick up a level 10 spear off of that thing. The next enemy I face, I'll just throw that spear at it, because you can throw your weapon. And it does double damage, but the weapon instantly breaks. So that's another thing you can do. Like, if I'm using that level 25 sword and it's about to break, it says your weapon's weak. You basically get about 2 to 3 more attacks with that weapon before it breaks. When it says that, your next attack, just back up and throw it. And you do double damage. It breaks, but you get the double damage attack, switch to a better weapon, and continue the fight. So I've been doing that a lot.
So tell me, do the bosses or just the enemies in general in this, do they do what Zelda does, you know, and they have like the hit me here glowing area?
No, I haven't seen that at all.
Really? No. Really? Okay.
No, like completely not at all. Like Guardians, like one of the things I learned when I was doing some research here was the Guardian weak spot. I haven't been able to hardly do any damage to Guardians, even stationary ones. I just run away from them. And now I'm like, oh, I could actually damage that and stun and kill it that way? Oh, sweet. I'm doing that from here on out. Well, I'd say that the big Guardians, like there's been in a few shrines, there's been like challenge fights where it's like a real small Guardian, and I've been able to beat those, but I haven't beat any of the big ones in the wild.
You know, I bet you if Fouts played this, he'd be able to beat the Guardians, and I'm ashamed that you're not able to do this. I mean, how long have you been playing Destiny? You should know how to beat a Guardian by now. You take out the Ghost.
Now, I did play a lot of Iron Banner last week, mostly Iron Banner last week, so I am only really 3 days in to Zelda with a little bit of time from when I got it. So I'll blame that for whatever reason. But
so what I'm hearing is you're backpedaling to try to say you know how to beat a Guardian.
Well, now, as of like today, and I'm going to go back, and there's one in like the beginning section that I'm going to go back and beat just to see, because I need one more piece of a Guardian. Like it can fall randomly, but I need one more important piece to get a level up, to level up something I have. So I'm hoping I can go drop that one and get it. But man, the go anywhere on this is so great. Like when I saw the videos of people playing originally, like all you do is mountain climb, but it's such a major component to it because you don't have to go around. You can literally just, I'm going to go over that mountain, or I'm going to climb that pillar, I'm going to climb this. There's like really nowhere you can't go in this game. I don't think you can climb completely upside down. You can climb at a negative angle. You just can't climb completely upside down. But man, you can climb anywhere and get to some crazy
places.
That's
cool. Yeah. Listening again to the Nintendo PowerCast, one of the things they're talking about is the fact, and I'm like, guys, no, don't say this, because it makes me feel like I have to have a Wii U as well, because, and you have this, if you have Wolf Link, the amiibo,
oh, okay,
you can scan that amiibo, and you can do some stuff in the Twilight Princess game to level up your amiibo,
okay,
and then you can get him up he has a bunch of hearts and all that stuff, then you scan him in to Breath of the Wild, and he becomes a pet that runs around and fights for you.
What?
Nice. Yeah, I heard this, I'm like, are you kidding me? Now, the thing is, you could only get Wolf Link either on eBay or by buying it with the game itself.
Oh, crap.
So,
oh, man.
So they have...
get it? Yeah.
I
wonder how much they would be on eBay. That would be awesome.
Yeah, I heard about that, and I'm like, I'm sitting there going, I'm like, guys, come on now, you're killing me, because I popped in because they were recording live, and it was cool because two wolves, not two wolves, too loud, too many twos,
oh, okay.
too loud TX and Null Zero were guests on the show, oh. So it was pretty cool.
Nice, but yeah, you can tame dogs in this one. Like if you see a dog running around, you can give it food and it follows you, but I had to teleport somewhere else, so I don't know if that dog would have actually fought for me if I'd have gave it more food in the game. But you can tame horses, too, and not just a pony. You can tame any horse, ride it, bring it to a stable, get a saddle, and that's your horse now. And you give it a name, too. You can,
nice.
You can name it, nice. But you can't name yourself. You're Link. Other games, you could name yourself, like, Butt Cheese
yeah,
and stuff
yeah.
like that. This one, all the characters call you Link, no matter what. So
okay.
You can name any horse. Brandon?
All right, so new in package, that Wolf Link looks like it's between $25 and $35. There is one that has 20 heart level, 40 cave of shadow save for $90.
That's what I was talking about. You're going to see people buying that and doing that for people and selling it on this game right now. It's going to be crazy.
That sounds. I would hope the dog would be immortal, but I would doubt it would be. I think, like most things, it could possibly die, but... I would have to look into that. Before I drop $20, I'd want that dog to be immortal and always be around me no matter what.
The other thing is with this is these dogs you can tame and stuff like that. I have to ask because I've played games with Brandon, and I just need to know before he gets this game, can you kill the dogs?
Yeah. You can kill dogs. You can kill cute foxes.
He will. Brandon will never have any pets.
Crickets in this game. You can kill flamingos, you can kill rams, boars, you can kill...
So what you're saying is Link is a poaching bastard.
Oh, yeah. You can bomb fish Like, I don't fish for fish in this game. I literally throw bombs in where I see fish.
Fishing with TNT.
Blow it up, pick up the dead fish when I'm done. That's how I go fishing in this game.
That's
fantastic.
How you do it.
And you can actually bait them, too. Like, I can throw a mushroom in the water or throw bait in the water, let it float, the fish will come get it, and then throw a bomb and blow up more fish in one spot instead of throwing a lot of bombs. Now, another thing about This Is Not Your Father's Zelda is you have infinite bombs. So your bombs... your bombs are a magic ability, and they recharge over a set amount of time, and it's not that long. So you have infinite bombs in this game. So, and you can use... They're really light, so you have two types. You have a square, which doesn't slide in most environments, so that's the one you want to set down in one spot. And then you have the rolling bomb, which is great if you have enemies down like at an incline. You just throw the rolling bomb down, it'll roll to the enemies, and then you blow it up where the enemies are. And you can and if you have a really tough enemy, which I faced what's called a Hinox one time, I was like, that is a giant creature, and I don't know if I'm leveled up far enough, but I was way above it, so I just chucked bombs at it. Infinite bombs from on a mountain until it was dead. I'm like, done. I win. And I go collect all that stuff, which it dropped a lot of loot. That was fantastic. But this game, it has like, I haven't found a dungeon yet, but I have found the shrine, which is like a mini in-between dungeon. It's just kind of like a portal puzzle where it's just you go in, and Zelda's had this in the past where you got to use your stuff to figure out things. But these shrines... And the reward you get at the end is how you get extra hearts and extra stamina. That's no other way to get it in the game besides doing these shrines and these puzzles. So you win more hearts, you have to do the shrines. So, and they're pretty fun. Some of those puzzles are difficult, but not impossible. And even have some hidden chests and corners with them as well, too. So that's pretty cool.
Cajun, have you played...
Record?
Yeah, okay. Thank you.
Yes,
I knew where you were going.
Yes, I played the first... fight of Recore. I had the demo version where you can play the first fight till she finds the ship.
Yeah.
I liked it. Then I got distracted with other stuff and I didn't like it enough to go back. Like
Okay.
I forgot what it was that turned me off. I think he even said it in one episode a while back when just in passing, but I forgot what it was that turned me off. But I was like, it didn't turn me off completely. It's just other games in my queue interest me more than that one. And so I got distracted by shiny
I was just
things.
Curious how you would compare the movements and compare between the two titles.
Oh.
Because I've heard some comparisons been made.
This is very Zelda. You do the Z targeting with one of your buttons, shield up, hop back, jump swing your sword. Your charged attacks with your weapons, you can have spears and axes and clubs and stuff like that. Your charge attack varies on the type of weapon. Like a spear, your charge attack is a bunch of stabs, but a long sword, your charge attack is a circular swing. So, and even you can do like aerial drop attacks, which can actually kill you. I almost died one time. I was too high up doing a drop attack, and I was like, wow, I lost a lot of life, but I didn't die. But so another Not Your Father's Zelda, there's voice acting in this one. You know how all Link Zelda games, it was just text that you'd read? In cutscenes, there's voice acting for the major characters. Not Link. He never talks once. But all the other characters have voices.
Oh, before in N64, all you heard was, hey, listen.
Yeah. And it was just very limited stuff. Yeah. This one, when in the cutscenes, it's full dialogue. Now, there is one I just had recently that was funny. Is the cutscene was I met the Prince of the Zora. He comes up. He says his little intro that gives a smile. And then it switches to text in the middle of our conversation. I was like, are you kidding me? just finish this up.
Back to the days of old.
Yeah, just finish this in voice acting, please. And
maybe it does finish on the Switch.
I seriously doubt that one.
That's where your extra charge goes.
Yeah. But Link doesn't wear his classic green in this. Like, he doesn't have the green pointy hat and the green tunic. He has an extensive wardrobe. Like, I have full... knight battle armor that I wear for fights. Like, if I'm about to get into a nasty fight, I'll throw my battle armor on. He has climbing gear. His climbing gear are it's basically baggy pants with tights on the calves and then small shoes. And then his climbing hat that makes him climb faster is a bandana.
That's sick. I would wear the bandana all the damn time, though. That's just me. I love bandanas.
Yeah, no, I do too, because you climb so much in the game that I just wear that all the time. And the gear itself isn't that great. What's the best way to describe this? You're not upgrading your gear as you're getting new stuff. You're upgrading your gear at fairy fountains. So you find a fairy fountain. All your gear is base level one. You go to the fairy where she comes out in her weird little outfit and her weird voice and her weird everything that you remember from the Nintendo days. And then you pay her some in-game currency, and she'll upgrade your different gear. Each type of gear costs different types of currency. But then each fairy fountain, as you unlock them, will upgrade level 1, level 2, level 3, level 4, level 5, whatever, however many fairy fountains there are. So you don't have to worry about getting new gear. All your gear is going to be at max level for the highest fairy fountain you found. That was a lot of Fs right there.
Yeah, I didn't realize that this Zelda game took place in Vegas, because, you know, you can pay an awful lot of money at a fairy fountain to upgrade your gear.
This is a heavy fairy, though. This is not your dad's fairy. She's got a little weight on her when she comes out of that fountain. She displaces a lot of water.
Link to the Past, that was a thing. That was a thing. There was a large fairy, but she was in the Dark World.
Oh, okay.
And she was the one. Yeah. She upgraded some of your weaponry. That's where they kept.
I don't know if that's all fairies, but the first one. Yeah.
Okay. So let's go into something that's not related to the Fairyland. Let's go into some Ghost Recon Wildlands.
Who is playing that game full release right now?
I am playing that game, and a lot of our clan is playing that game. Mm-hmm. I have some really positive things about it, and I have some negative things that are going on right now. And now, I was worried that it was just my side, because it felt like it was my side that was getting disconnected, but then the other guys were complaining about the game being choppy. It didn't start out that way. The demos were great. The demo, there wasn't, you know, the vehicles weren't being choppy at all. Now that it's been a wide release, like when I played the night that it launched, I was playing online with people, no problem. One of the issues... Now, I'm going to talk about the negative first, then I'm going to bring it back with the positive. So, the negatives, it takes you out. Like, they did address some of the vehicles being able to go everywhere. You can't go everywhere with them now. It's kind of wonky how they do that, because it'll flip you backwards, and you're like... A little bit. I try it with the dirt bikes. I try to go wherever I can. But what's bad is you're going around, and you see vehicles coming, and... The vehicle, when you're playing online at least, the civilian vehicles, they're doing this. They're rubber banding.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, I'm looking at that, and then I'm asking, I'm playing with clanmates, Mitch Windu, Stash, what?
That's just typical Ubisoft servers.
It is. When they start out, they have a hard time. No matter how much they test, no matter what they do, as soon as they launch, they have issues. They had the same issue when the For Honor came out, same issue in the Division, same issue, you know, it's just stuff that goes on. They will get them better. I know they will. They always do. But it's difficult because I'm wanting to get into these games, and I've been the guy where it hasn't affected me as much. Like, this is karma coming back to get me, considering the fact that I do remember being in Division playing the first update and talking and laughing at Fouts. That he was waiting for it and couldn't get in, and I'm sitting in there. Now, mind you, I was stuck in the area I was at, but I was still playing.
In queue, waiting to get into the update at that time for the underground launch.
And I was in there like no problem, just running around. I'm like, oh, man, I'm getting this gear. So I'm guessing this is payback. So what it does great, though, is it gives you a huge damn sandbox to explore and play. And... say you're playing with some friends and you're not the best at the tactical side of things. You can turn your individual difficulty down. And so you could be playing with someone that plays expert. Now, this is where it becomes a problem, though, because if you're playing on the highest setting and a bullet hits you and you die, So you're like trying to be stealthy. You're doing everything tactical. And then you got your friend that goes, I'm going to turn it down to
Leroy easy. Jenkins.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. That does happen. But it's just so in the Destiny lore, which we're going to get to on that, which isn't necessary to be much of a lore for a while, it gives you something to go into. And what a lot of people are saying is this is what they wanted the Division to be. If you like the Division PvE, but you didn't like the PvP side of things, this is your game to go to. Because this is just a huge PvE experience. I've now gone around and explored a lot of the area and really found some... Like, I went up to the snow. That's pretty dang cool. I don't recommend going there until you get some weapons, some better weapons. One little tidbit is if you played Ubisoft games, you probably have a supply of Uplay points. Log on to your Ubisoft club, and you can get yourself two guns. You can get yourself a named gun, and then you can get yourself a G36C already with all the different trigger switches. So it allows you to have a gun that you can upgrade a little more quickly off the bat to your liking, and it's a powerful weapon to use. But it's just been cool. I've been running around with clanmates and just enjoying a new adventure. And with some stuff we have coming up in the hype train to talk about, it's, you know, there's a lot of things going on that are going to be pretty cool.
How many worlds have you gotten to so far? How many areas? Because there was two regions in the betas.
I have gone to five so far and that's just because I haven't even got past the first region. I've just jumped into other people's games and experienced. And they'd be like, oh, we're over here. And so, like, I'm like, okay, well, I guess I'll just go along with you guys and do this side mission and this stuff. And so I've gotten guns that I wouldn't have had starting it out.
Gotcha.
And that's been pretty fun.
So nice. It's like starting a new character in the Division with me.
Yep.
Except for I can do damage. I can do damage.
Oh, right, okay. Yeah.
I'm not getting power leveled. it's a lot of good things. But they had one thing that with this. If you guys either of you guys looking at getting this, you guys are gonna wait for the price to go down.
It's definitely gotta go down for me.
Okay.
Go down and nothing else has to be out at the time. For me.
Okay. Yeah. Another game launched at the same time of this, and I had to pick it up because my kids, they love Minecraft and stuff. Lego Worlds, and I'm telling you, so it's only. One of the things that will hold it back at the moment from defeating Minecraft as a throne would be the fact that you have limited to only two players. Two-player split screen or two-player online. Okay. If they add, later on they're supposed to be adding in more players. They do that, it's going to be a serious contender. Right now, when you play it, it's adventure. It's like a hybrid between Minecraft and No Man's Sky.
Okay.
And the Telltale Lego games. You got all the humor of the Telltale Lego games, and then you got the exploration of No Man's Sky, and you got the ability to build, and you can turn anything. Like, let's say you had something you built as a kid, even though it may not have been the most cool looking, but you find all the pieces, you can build anything that you want. And then you can use a copy tool, and you can create it into a prefabbed set that you can plop anywhere you go.
Like a real set that'll bring to your house, or like a set in game?
No. Okay. In game.
I was like, man, that's marketing right there. You're like, I want that.
They've actually talked about this actually, Nintendo is saying that they want to do stuff like that. Or you buy a set in the store, your kid buys a set, this is where it's at, and then you get a card, you scan the code, and now that set appears in the game.
That's
so you're going to see a lot of that coming. Yeah.
No matter what. There's probably half of a marketing team somewhere who works with this group. This is like, this eventually needs to be there. Like, there's no way that doesn't happen. That's too smart.
So one of the things that this really does is what happened is there used to be a game before Lego Dimensions, before that stuff. It was just, I think it was called Lego Universe is what it was called. And it was an MMO, but it allowed you to build stuff in it. And that game, one of the main... customer base that it had was children with autism. because there's a lot of groups out there that found that that was a game that their kids could really connect to. Now, my middle son, he's a high functioning autistic child, and I've been trying to find a game that he'd be drawn to that's not anime based, stuff like that. And this is it. He is in like Flynn. Like he loves this game. And so for me, it gives me something I can interact with him. We can build stuff together. And it's just that if you have a child that you're looking for to something to experience with that might not be into everything that you would want them to, give them a shot at this game. And I'm pretty sure they're going to like it. The humor, everything's just spot on. It's a great title and it's only going to get better. And here's the kicker. It's only $30.
Oh man, that's good.
And that's smart. I would pay 65. I would pay 65 for this game easy. But it's $30.
That's a smart price point for something that is going to have potential for revenue to come in other mediums. Get it out there, get people playing it, reasonable price. Nice. You did make a comparison to No Man's Sky. Are the worlds procedurally generated?
The worlds are procedurally generated as you start out and you grab these special golden bricks that allow you to unlock the next tier of size of world. Gotcha. And then you click explore and it randomly generates a world.
Okay.
I have actually got in and seen biomes, and one biome was a pirate biome, then the other one was a fantasy biome. And I saw pirates running and going into battle against trolls and ogres and other things from the fantasy biome, and then I was stuck in the middle. And I'm like, okay. So I started spawning in like skeletons and other things, and then just watching them all fight. You dig down, you have to do a lot of digging and exploring in caves and stuff like that. They're randomly generated. It's just really cool. I can't wait till I get to the larger tier, because there's underwater, like there's water caverns, there's just all sorts of stuff, and your gear matters. Like if you're gonna go diving, that's the other thing. You can make your character however you want. As you unlock characters, you can change the hands. Like I remember building my minifigs. I had a character that had I took the ghost black, all black head, and then a space suit, and I had like hook hands. Well, you can do all that stuff. You can put hooks on your hands and do that stuff. And I had the race called them the blanks when I was a kid. And it was like a space race of aliens. You could do all that in the game. And that is just, that's really cool.
Nice. Well, that's what we've been playing. That's what we've been watching. We knew March was coming with just amazing titles and amazing movies. And right now we're right out the gate with some amazing stuff. We barely have enough time for, have you noticed, like not all of us are playing and watching everything. It's just because there's so much to do and watch. But now we can talk about what we're excited about. The hype train. So Destiny had a live stream, their first of 35 live streams before the launch of Destiny 2. I guess that puts it 35 weeks out. So now we have they released the Age of Triumph.
Are they doing one every week?
There was a post somewhere that said this was the first one of 35 live streams. So I was assuming one a week. They could double them up. But that's just an assumption at my point. So, yeah. Pure speculation.
Okay.
Cajun was right or wrong. We'll know in the future. The Age of Triumph is the new book this year. It's 13 pages of accomplishments. Every player can be rewarded. They're going to have new weekly rituals to get max light stuff, featured raids, but the raids are going to have new challenges. That's exciting for me. Not only the new raids.
And a new light level.
And new light level. And new gear and new ornaments. Are you going to get new gear, new ornaments from these raids? Mythic class is coming back that's going to be able to be brought up to 400. Ugh.
No, it will drop at 400.
Oh, drop at 400.
Like seriously, if you get it, not everybody can get it and has never gotten it before. Damien, it will drop at 400 light level.
Ooh, nice. And the drop rates are going to be up. They did say that as well too. So your drop rates are going to be up similar to current raids and strikes, and especially for challenge mode, you're going to get guaranteed drops from a set pool. So man, I think it's a good little revitalization, not necessarily for the gear, because they also let us know something that we're not bringing our gear forward.
We're not bringing our Guardian forward.
Yeah, not bringing hardly anything forward. But
I'm actually okay with it.
3 years is enough. Like, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like, I understand. Like, I would like them to give us some type of trophy space to show our accomplishments. But, you know, I get it. It's new tech. They're building on a new engine, completely new engine, all that stuff. So, you know what? As long as that engine, and I keep saying it, as long as the engine gives me beards, I'm good.
Beards and maybe some arm tattoos. Give Damien a sleeve.
Ooh. 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 Yes. Yes.
Now, they did confirm that we are not getting more vault space, correct?
Correct.
That's
from now until Destiny 2.
Because we were promised more vault space when Rise of Iron came out. They said, we're not giving it to you right now, but it is coming.
# Deej is wrong.
Yep. That one is something.
Now, I can see why they're not, because nothing is going forward, so you don't need to hoard everything.
But somebody
but everybody's still going to hoard something. They said, we are going to give you more vault space, but we're not doing it now. It will come at a later update.
Yeah, I think.
Then they come out and say that they are not updating vault.
Now, I do believe that they will have to, in order to appease the fans that were excited about extra vault space, I think they have to come out and mea culpa that. They can't just say, we're not giving us vault space, which they've said. They have to say, someone said this when it was just a concept. It was not an actuality. We've determined it's not something we can do right now. And say they're sorry in a mea culpa. But beyond just saying, you're not getting it. I can't hear you. I hear you saying that somebody said it, but I can't hear you. I can't hear you. And run the other way out of the room.
I can't hear you. Have you heard about our new game, Destiny 2? We're going to make all kinds of promises and then lie to you about it. I know. I'm pouring salt on it. I'm just being an a-hole. But I'm looking forward to D2.
Yeah. Because, I mean, honestly, anybody that knows us, they know that we – I mean, the reason we all three know each other is because of what game?
Destiny.
It's because of Destiny.
Yeah. Yep. But I'm excited to get into this book, knock out my 13 pages. Now, the other thing is, like other books, you had to complete 100% to get the final emblem reward. This book, you only have to complete, I think, 75% to get the final reward, because some of them are locked away in previous. But there's even stuff in Trials that, like, going to the lighthouse is something I've never done. And that's a Trials one. So having 100% completion on some of these things, they deem to be probably too hard, so they set it at a lower tier.
The problem I have is I was not a day one player. And as like a book completionist, because I've completed all the other books they've come out with, I can't complete this Age of Triumph book because I was not a day one player. I can't complete the page with the task for doing anything before Dark Below, because I didn't even start playing until after Dark Below came out.
Right. So that's other reasons why they have to cut it back because of that. So yeah, that definitely sucks for the completionist. Oh, and by the way, don't buy Breath of the Wild if you're a completionist, because good God. Like, and I'll cover, I have tons more notes. I'll cover more in future episodes, but yeah, it's unbelievable the amount of stuff you can go.
It'll be interesting to see it'll be interesting to hear you and Chris's views and stuff on it from the Switch and then from the Wii U, and hearing the differences and things like that.
Exactly, yeah. And there was something I was going to ask, if the Switch and Wii U both did the same thing, but I already confirmed that they do. You can actually tilt the gamepad and you can tilt the Switch to target. So, like, when you pull your bow out, you can actually, instead of using the joysticks, you can release them and then tilt the screen to, like, get more precision targeting. So
that's cool. Yeah.
But that was a game on thing. I'm in hype train. My OCD needs to put things in its right column, and I'm in the wrong.
The hype train just got derailed.
But so that was Destiny.
Yeah. So if we're gonna go back onto the hype train, how about that teaser trailer for Deadpool 2?
I thought that was the start of Logan. I literally almost gave birth to a child watching that movie. I was like, Deadpool is in Logan. Oh, because it doesn't start with "this preview was brought to you by." It just starts like it's the movie. And it's
okay,
the-
now, when you guys went and seen it, was there any previews at all before that?
Yeah.
There were previews, okay, yeah. There
see,
were previews.
I didn't have any previews at all. The theater I went to was short on time. Like, the first showing went long for some reason. So the second showing had no previews. They instantly went into the Deadpool teaser.
Oh, geez.
So did you think
that's
was,
even worse?
Did you think
I was like,
was...
what the hell is going on? And what's even funnier, I don't know if you guys noticed it, but right there where all the things happen, they're in front of a movie theater alley. And above it, the Monarch or whatever, it says Logan.
Logan. Yeah, now
yeah.
showing. Yeah.
yeah,
and in the
yeah, now showing Logan
in the YouTube.
That's the break of the fourth wall.
Yeah, in the YouTube one, he actually says like you should. He doesn't say there is a there's like the text for the closed captioning at the bottom of it has the dialogue uh-huh. closed caption, and in that closed captioning, one of them is not spoken dialogue. It's just parentheses asterisked out. It's just said you should probably just watch Logan. I hear it's pretty good. But yeah, other stuff in the background, there's a posters for Firefly in the background. When he goes yep. into the phone booth, they actually got the rights to John Williams' Superman score and played it as he's going into the booth, if you caught that.
I did.
Yep.
There's
dude, there's so much
so
good stuff
it's
about
so
that.
Good. And it's just like it's just yeah.
And
so much Ryan Reynolds, you know, you just know that it's him, and it's just, but this is just going right into, they're going to get awards again for marketing. We know yeah. it. This is just them. I mean, this was already like a new switch. It's like, no, there's no back piece, but we're throwing it at the front. Ah, got you guys.
Yep. And I didn't notice it in the movie, and I'm pretty sure it wasn't there, but then the YouTube one, Stan Lee. Is there? He's like, nice suit. And Deadpool's like, shut up, Stan Lee. And he goes, oh, man. Because that was awesome, too. You have this great one in the theater, but then you have a longer alternate version online. So people are like, yeah, I saw it in theater. But the online one's even more. So it drives more clicks. And the theater one has different score. The intro music yep. is different. So it gets people to go see both. It's just across the board smart.
They know how they do their marketing. That's mm-hmm. what I'm saying. They're going to get awards. It's going to be nuts.
Have you guys read Brandon. The long text at the very end of it yet?
Yes.
Oh, God, yes.
It's basically a book report written by Deadpool for Hemingway's Old Man and the Sea.
it's hilarious. Like, I had to look that up the second I got home from the theater.
Yeah, like what was that? Please, somebody have the ability to pause that somewhere and transcribe that, because I want to read that. Exactly. Just so great across the board. I could probably even think of a few more things to get more time, but we had some information leaked that Damien found.
Yeah, so Thor Ragnarok. They're talking about, I mean, we already know that it's a mashup film. It is Planet Hulk and the Thor Ragnarok comic line, which works out fine in this, because we get what? We get Bruce Banner, we get the Hulk, and we get Thor. Mm-hmm. And that buddy team up is just always, whenever they're together, you know things are gonna be comical, but action-packed.
Right. Now, will they be buddies or will they be enemies?
That's what the leak is about. Is they're saying that it's going to take place in the gladiatorial fights. Now we've seen the armor that Hulk wears. We've yep. seen it in pictures, and we've seen the actual armor at Comic-Con. So that's how they announced that he's in it. But so it starts off. Thor is on a different planet. He is stuck in jail, and he does not have I can't pronounce it. Yeah. He does not have his hammer. And he is forced to fight in the gladiatorial games.
Oh, by the way, spoilers for the plot of Thor Ragnarok, if you wanted to know the plot.
Ah, true. and what he winds up fighting fellow Avenger, Hulk.
I can't wait
and
for that.
And so
fight.
I know it's going to be epic.
It's going to be a great fight, but again, we've seen him fight. So we've seen, we've already seen them fight, but it will be great to see a full on gladiatorial fight, though. Yeah,
it'll be interesting to see who, like at what point during the fight do they realize that, hey, there's a way for us to both get out of this, and how they do that. Like, are we gonna see a spear being chucked up like into the sky? Like, is this gonna go like full on Spartacus style revolt? And I'm coming back to my realm to stop Ragnarok with all these other gladiators. I mean, we don't know that yet, and that's where this could be a really interesting.
Or that they'd not fight at all, because doesn't he lose like his like invincibility when he doesn't have his hammer? Or am I wrong?
He's still strong. He's still a god. Okay. He just doesn't have. He can't fly because he uses the hammer to fly.
Because I don't remember in the original Thor. Because in the original Thor, he loses his hammer. But I don't remember if he was mortal at that point.
He was mortal at that point when he was down on Earth. So if you know the Ragnarok comic line, what happens in Ragnarok is, and this is actually the next Thor is going to be the start. It's setting up Infinity Wars.
Right. I mean, there's very limited movies between now and Infinity Wars, so all of them will have to have some sort of setup in it.
And we do know, we do know, I mean, it was already kind of insinuated just with the fact of Doctor Strange, the end of that movie. Doctor Strange is going to be in Ragnarok.
Cumberbatch.
And it sounds like it's going to be more than just what we thought. It sounds like he's actually going to be a key player in the film.
Nice.
So he's getting that set up to take over the new Avengers.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Act 4 of the MCU after Infinity
War. Oh, yeah.
I'm curious to see where that one is. That's the one that doesn't get any talk. Everything's talked about up to Infinity War, but that universe will continue after it. What it's going to look like after it is very up in the open, because you will not take 100% of that cast with you after Infinity War.
Spider-Man. You'll have Spider-Man will be a key part of the Avengers. That's a given, because that way they can keep Sony can push more of their films, because they'll just lock the actors in for those roles, and they'll just keep moving with it.
Right now, I think it's time to get into This Week in Geek.
Hey Doc, we better back up. We don't have enough roads to get up to 88.
Roads? Well, we're going. We don't need roads.
All right, so March 7th, 1876, Alexander Graham Bell receives a patent, U.S. number 174465, for an improvement in telegraphy, which will later come to be known as the variable resistance telephone. Hooked on phonics worked for me. Or it didn't.
March 5th.
Apparently not.
1955.
No. Try reading that again.
Herp derp.
It didn't work for him either.
March 5th, 1995. Too many fives in my brain. I was standing too far away. The Yahoo search engine officially launches on the internet. 13 months later, Yahoo holds its IPO at a price of $13 a share. Yahoo stock actually peaks $475 a share, from 13 to 475 in January 2000. So 4 years later.
Apparently Y2K had no effect.
Yeah. Oh man, it was crazy. And then, but then it fell a year and a half later down to $8. And all the way up to a few months ago, Yahoo announced their sale to Verizon for $4.8 billion, which was also known as the saddest billion-dollar deal in Silicon Valley history, because at Yahoo's peak, they were $50 billion company valuation, and they sold for right under $5 billion. So that is a huge downward spiral for them.
And just what you said, Silicon Valley, just wanted to put it out, because of you two guys, this guy is watching Silicon Valley. Just saying.
Have you got to Middle Out yet?
Not yet.
Okay.
I will get there.
I don't want to talk to you. Okay. I told you this. I actually literally told him, I said, look, when you get to Middle Out, you have to call me immediately after. Don't care what time it is.
Exactly. Yeah. And you'll be crying.
You'll be laughing.
You'll be laughing so hard you cry. Yeah.
Swear to
Yeah.
Promise.
Yeah. Without a doubt.
All right, so finally, March 5th, 1975, the Homebrew Computer Club holds its first meeting. Many people who played an important part in the early years of personal computing attended meetings of the Homebrew Computer Club during its history. Perhaps no meeting was more important than the one that took place almost exactly 1 year after the first. Steve Wozniak brought his design for what eventually becomes the Apple I computer. We did forget something, though, in the hype train. Hashtag Xbox version of Conan will get no Wang bar. I had to put that in there because I...
But here's the thing. This is what I don't get, okay? There's no Wang bar, mind you. I'm okay with that. I'm actually okay with it, you know? I've seen some mods that are just not okay. but what I don't get is that then you got Andromeda, you got Mass Effect Andromeda, stayed in full frontal nudity on everybody. So it's like...
There's achievements for getting it on.
I know! So it's like, why are you going to let them do it? I think that this is they have a problem. They're against Conan. Conan Don Bars.
It could be the Wang Bar itself, the ability to adjust the anatomy versus a cutscene as in a story in a game. Because I mean, Witcher 3, the first cutscene is nudity. It's not full frontal, but it's everything else. The first intro cutscene. So
yeah, true.
Speaking of that, it's on sale right now, half off, plus the DLC is on sale for half off of that as well.
Oh, Witcher 3?
For Witcher 3.
Witcher 3,
I think I just bought the DLC a few weeks ago.
Yeah, you can get it now for $11.
Oh, duh. Bought it for $25 a few weeks ago. Son of a gun.
All right, so Nash, where can we find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Mr. Damian Nash, all one word. Manning the Late Night Geekologist Radio Twitter. Minus the T for character restrictions. Still haven't got to the queued up media one. I will, once I get that up and running, we will make an announcement on the Geekologist Radio Twitter and follow there for all sorts of goodness that's going to be coming. So there's, I just wanted to give a shout out to Bronson. That's badass. I apologize for getting weirded out, or not weirded out, but like turn around and saying, what the F? When someone's said that I was on a podcast, I guess I say my thing is I say, so let's get into this before I announce it. And so I just did it. So God, I did it again. Okay, Bronson, thank you so much.
Damien, that's enough out of you. Mr. Cajun Saint, where can we find you?
You can find me at Caucasian Saint, all one word, on Twitter and all over the Uprising Family Gaming Network. And I'm still waiting for my first fan of the show to greet me in public and recognize my voice. Damien's right now the only one to have that just by recognizing his voice. So I think that's pretty awesome.
And Chris, where can we find you? Oh, yeah, never mind. He's not here. So you can find me at @BE_FOUTZ on Twitter and all over Uprising Family Gaming. And you can tweet to us, you can email us, whatever you want to do. We're always around. And if you like the show and you're new to listening, suggest it to friends and give us a like and a comment on iTunes or any of the other different podcast apps that you listen to us. Helps us out a lot and lets us know your feedback and how we're doing.
And you can find us on Xbox under the podcast app. Just look us up. We're there.
We're everywhere. We're in your house.
Listen to me. We are coming for you. All right. So on behalf of Geekologist Radio, thank you for tuning in. Chris, hopefully we'll be back next week with all kinds of crazy stories. And we are meow.